Recording in progress.
Okay, and okay. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. So we continue on with the chapter of wudu. These are just lots of little detail points which we probably know already because you've obviously learned how to do wudu and what breaks wudu and all that sort of thing. But it's just going back to see what the evidence actually is for these rulings, okay? So this chapter is, you should not repeat your wudu if you're in doubt as to whether you broke it, unless until you're convinced of it, okay? So one of the companions, Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Ansari, asked the Prophet about someone who he's in, basically in the prayer, for example, and he imagines that he may have passed some wind, okay? But he's not sure, it's just like a imagining or feeling it. Yeah. So then the Prophet ﷺ said he should not leave his prayer unless he hears a sound or smells something. Hatta yasma'a sawtan aw yajida rihan. Okay, so unless, until it's clear and obvious, then you assume that you're in wudu. Okay, so there's a principle of fiqh which the scholars derive from this. Have you heard of it, or could you think of what it might be? I mean, that's what's here, that there should be something clear-cut. But there's a general principle which they then derive from that, which you can...
It's about doubt.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Do you know what it is? So something which is certain is not removed on the basis of something which is doubtful. Okay? So if you've done wudu, you've gone to the mosque, and you're praying, that's something clear-cut. Okay? And then you're thinking, did I break my wudu or not? Then just ignore that. Or even if you think, you know, you might have done wudu, say, at dhuhr time, for example, and then at asr time, you think, have I got wudu or not? Well, you know you did do wudu, and you're not sure if you may have broken it in that time, so then you just assume you've got it, yeah? Okay, and it's in other contexts as well, besides wudu. So that's the chapter heading which Bukhari mentioned. And if you follow that kind of principle, because some people get affected by doubts and whispering. So some people get affected by doubts and whispering. So if you follow that approach, then you won't be affected by that, hopefully. Yeah. So the default state is that if you've done wudu, then you don't consider that you've broken it until you're sure of that. And if you have not done wudu, assume that that's the case until you're sure that you've done it, if that makes sense, yeah? So the principle, the broader principle, is that certainty is not removed by doubt, yeah? مَا يَزَالُ الْيَقِينَ بِالشَّكْ. Okay? And so that's the point that Bukhari is making, that if you're in the prayer, in the salah, and you're thinking, did I break my wudu? Did I pass wind, for example? But you're not sure. You don't leave the prayer until you're sure of it, if there's a sound or a smell. Okay. Okay, the next hadith is about doing a light wudu, doing a quick light wudu, as it were. So from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and this is just part of the hadith. So the Prophet ﷺ slept until he snored, or was making some noise when he's breathing, and then he offered salah without performing wudu. Or he lay down until you could hear the sounds of his breathing, then he got up and did salah. So that's actually, so this is the summarized Bukhari, right? So sometimes the chapter heading which Bukhari mentions, it's not clear from the actual hadith mentioned what he's trying to prove from that. So you need to go back to the original full version of Bukhari, and then you get the context of it. So the context of it, I'll show you in a moment, actually. But doing a light wudu is something which is allowed, and the Prophet did that sometimes. The minimum amount is that you wash everything one time. But there's also hadiths which show you can wash it twice or three times. Another benefit of that is that you use less water, so you can save water. But you still obviously must take care to cover the parts of the body fully. Okay, so don't leave any small portion missing. Okay. So we did do this hadith before, and that's why the summarizer didn't mention it all again. But this is from an occasion when Ibn Abbas, who was the cousin of the Prophet, he stayed overnight in the house of my aunt, Maimuna, and Maimuna was the wife of the Prophet. The Prophet ﷺ slept for part of the night, and then late in the night he woke up, and then he performed wudu, taking the water from a hanging water skin, a light and correct wudu, and then he stood up for the prayer. Okay, so just that phrase, that he did a light khafif, which is a light wudu. Okay. So the next hadith is about doing a full or complete or perfect wudu, okay? Do you know the term in Arabic for that, by any chance?
What, perfection?
Yeah, perfecting. Ifham. Perfecting your wudu, there's a specific word which is used for wudu. It's called isbagh al-wudu, okay? So isbagh al-wudu is perfecting your wudu, okay? So this is actually an incident when the Prophet ﷺ was doing his hajj, his farewell hajj, okay? So in Hajj, you go from Arafah, which is the main important day of Hajj, and then you go back to Muzdalifah, and you spend the night there, and then you go back to Mina. So they set off from Mina, or they're proceeding from Arafah, until he was passing through a mountain pass, and the Prophet ﷺ dismounted, he urinated, and then he did wudu, but not a perfect one, just a light one. And then the narrator, Usama ibn Zayd, said, "Is it time for Salah now?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "The place of prayer is ahead of you," meaning going to Muzdalifah. So he rode until they reached Muzdalifah. He dismounted, and then he did wudu with a perfect and full and complete wudu, isbagh al-wudu. And then they called the iqama for the prayer, and then he prayed Maghrib. And then people brought their camels down, and they tied their camels down. And then they did Iqama, and then they prayed Isha Salah. And no prayer was performed between the two, Maghrib and Isha. Okay?
Yeah. Is this more about the Hajj, what you're supposed to do on Hajj, than about the wudu?
Yeah, no, that's true. So this is describing what happens in Hajj. But what Bukhari does is oftentimes you'll get a long hadith which mentions many things, and he's just extracting that little point out of it. And then sometimes he'll actually may mention the same hadith later in the chapter of Hajj. So that's how he wrote it, basically. Okay. So isbagh is doing a complete, perfect wudu in the most perfect way. So any ideas what that would entail? So how do you make sure? So a light wudu, we also already said how one might do that. How can you make sure your wudu is complete, the most complete version of wudu? Yeah. Yeah, three times is one thing, yeah. Anything else? So one thing is that you can actually rub it as well. So rather than just sort of quickly splashing the water on, as it were, you actually make sure you rub all the parts, okay? And then the third thing, I'll put on myself. Yeah. So covering all the parts, which you should do anyway, but just making absolutely sure you do that. Second is that you actually rub the water over your the various parts of the body. And the third thing is that you do it three times. Yeah. So that's a complete wudu. So as we said, this is actually just narrating the full incident. The Prophet was going from Arafah, which is obviously the main part of Hajj, and then going back to Muzdalifah. On the way, he got off his camel and he did a light wudu. So that also shows that it's a good thing to do wudu, generally speaking, yeah? So especially in Hajj, where you're doing dhikr and you're remembering Allah and so on, if you stay in a state of tahara, stay in a state of wudu, that's a good thing, okay? So that's why the Prophet quickly wanted to do wudu, but it wasn't in order to pray as such, okay? And then the Usama ibn Zayd, who was the companion, he asked if it's the time for the prayer, and because the prayer time had already started, And the Prophet ﷺ wanted to show or indicated that we should pray in Muzdalifah. Okay? Then he did the perfect wudu, and the scholars say that either he may have broken it on the way, or he may have just wanted to renew it and refresh it completely so that he can then pray afterwards. Okay? And also just a little point as well, is that in Al-Musnad, which is Imam Ahmad's book of hadith, with the additional hadith added by his son, it says that the Prophet used Zamzam. So scholars extract from that that it's okay to do wudu with Zamzam. Okay, so some people actually object, like if you're in the Haram and you might be doing wudu with Zamzam, they might say that's not allowed, but it's okay, inshallah. And then having reached Muzdalifah, then the first thing he did was, they did Maghrib, and then they settled down their camels afterwards. And then they did a second Iqamah, and then they did Isha. Okay, make sense? Yeah. Okay, so then the next hadith is about washing the face. So again, this is just the point which Bukhari is mentioning, to wash the face with both hands with a handful of water. So this actually is Ibn Abbas showing how to do wudu, okay? So Ibn Abbas performed wudu, and he washed his face in the following way. He took out a handful of water, he rinsed his mouth and washed his nose with it, okay? Putting in the water, so he rinsed his mouth out and then sucked the water up his nose and then blew it out, okay? And then he took another handful of water, and joined his hands together and then washed his face. Then he took another handful of water and then washed his right arm, okay? And then took another handful of water and washed his left arm. And then he wiped his hands over his head and then took another handful of water and then poured it over his right foot up to the ankle and washed it. And then took another handful and then washed his left foot and washed it, okay? And then he said, radiallahu anhu, I saw Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam performing wudu in this way. Okay. So obviously the face is something obligatory that you have to wash when doing wudu, and they define it, the scholars, that obviously it's from the beginning of your hairline down to the bottom of the chin area and the jaw, and then from ear to ear. So you must make sure when you do wudu that you do actually cover all that. Yeah, don't just sort of miss off this last bit of the face, for example. Yeah, you've got to do all that. Okay. And then you take one handful of one sort of scoop of water, and then join it together, and then wash your face like that. Okay. So Ibn Abbas. So in another narration of the same hadith, he was with some students, and he said, would you like me to show you how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed wudu? And then he called for a jug of water. Okay, so he showed practically in front of them, he demonstrated it practically that this is how you do it. So that was a good teaching method that he used. Okay. So then this is just another fine point, so that when you're washing your you start with your mouth, nose and face, okay? So you take a handful of water in your right hand and you use that for both the mouth and the nose. You should use the same handful if you can, okay? So you take it in your mouth and you sort of gargle in your mouth and spit it out. And then with the remaining little bit of water, you suck it in your nose and then you sort of blow it out, okay? And that's how it's actually described explicitly in the Sunnah, okay? There are also indications that you can wash them separately. So that's the ideal method, if you like. But it's okay also to wash them separately, to wash your mouth and then your nose separately. Some narrations actually mention them as separate, as another option, okay? But those are not authentic. And some narrations suggest that, but don't say it explicitly, but they are authentic. So basically it says the Prophet washed his mouth 3 times and then he washed his nose 3 times. What you find oftentimes is that there are different ways, slight variations on how you can do that. Various things like wudu, there's slight variations. Like we know, for example, you can wash it 3 times or 2 times or 1 time. And so each of those different variations are mentioned in a hadith. Yeah. So in a similar fashion, the best way is one handful mouth and nose, rinse and then spit out. But then if you need to, then you can do it separately if that works better for you. And then for the face, so this is what the point Bukhari is mentioning, that you take some water in the right hand and then join the both hands together and then wash the face. Or if you want to, you could just take both hands together and then wash your face. And then the rest of the hadith, washing the right arm, the left arm, wiping the head, and the head should be wiped from front to back, and in some hadith back again, and then the right foot and then the left foot, and that's the complete order. Think that's it, really. Yeah. So yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
So.